You're about to listen to episode number 141.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hello, everybody. Happy Memorial Day weekend, the official start of summer right around the corner. Everybody taking to the roads. And welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast. Doesn't make any difference what kind of an RV you have, a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just dreaming about getting an RV someday, this is for you because here we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and using the right gear and tech to enhance our RV lifestyle. So welcome. We're honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. We got lots to talk about this week, lots of your feedback, questions, comments, suggestions, and a great story of the road and empowerment for a solo traveler. You're going to meet a solo traveler named Lise, and Lise, we're only going to use her first name. You'll hear her story coming up. Lise, I ended a bad marriage after, I think, more than three decades. Found herself alone, not sure what to go, where to go, what to do, and she bought an RV. And it brought about a sense of great empowerment as it pushed her out of her comfort zone. And you're going to really enjoy listening to Lise as she shares her story. And I think it'll be an inspiration to lots of other people. Plus, we've got some questions and comments and tips and all sorts of stuff. But right now, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hi, dear.
Hello, Michael.
We're back home.
We are.
Another 800 miles driving one way on Sunday.
I think it was 700.
700? Yeah, oh, was it? We were slackers.
We were goofing off.
Yeah, we came back from about 3 weeks on the Gulf Coast to our Michigan Sticks and Bricks home just in time to clean out the RV and repack it and take off for the far west in Montana and the Canadian Rockies and great adventures out west.
Give me some time to plant some flowers and...
Yeah,
get ready to take off again.
Plant some flowers that we'll never watch, but well, we'll be back, and we'll see those flowers, and hopefully God will send some rain, and it'll take care of them while we're gone. He always does.
Hopefully they'll pull through. Last year, I was amazed at how many pulled through without my tender, loving care.
You know, I wonder how many people actually carry plants and flowers with them in their RVs. I see them every now and then in a campground. Somebody's got a big pot of tomatoes, little cherry tomatoes or something, but I wonder how many people take flowers with them.
Well, I remember that once that we brought home two lavender plants after we went to that farm that raised them.
Oh, out in Oregon. Yeah.
Yes, and carrying those plants in and out and tending to their needs. I got a little sick of them before we got home, and then I just went out and looked, and the plant died. I don't know how the other plant's doing because I gave it away, but we had died.
All right. Well, but we did carry it. Lavender, the RV smelled pretty good there for a couple of days.
And then the farm said that they sold those plants to Costco. So I probably just could have gone to a local Costco store and bought a lavender plant, saved myself a lot of carrying.
Yeah, well, but it was still
fun.
But
it was fun.
But anyway, back to my point, I wonder how many people do. If you travel with plants and stuff, that might be worth a tip or something. Send us how you do it and how well they hold up. Would like to know. Anyway, we're home. People always say, well, where did you stay on the way home? But you know, when we're traveling from place to place, we seldom go to campgrounds. We stayed at our favorite place, which is the back of a Cracker Barrel restaurant.
And we slept great. It was dark. It was quiet. It was very nice.
Yep. We kind of stay away from Walmarts. They're just too busy and too noisy and too bright. And we find, you know, those back parking lots at Cracker Barrel. Most Cracker Barrels welcome RVers. It's great. And then they got breakfast ready for us early the next morning. So that's what we did. This is the Memorial Day weekend. I noticed a lot more traffic this weekend, even the week before as we drove up from the Gulf Coast
to
Michigan.
We had a lot of traffic last weekend. A lot of the schools down south were out and it was their first vacation weekend.
Yep. So it is out there. And I know that we've got a news item later on in the podcast about this can be a record number of travelers expected on the roads for Memorial Day weekend. We are not going anyway Memorial Day weekend. That's for amateurs. We'll leave about 4 or 5 days later for our Montana trip. But we'll let them all get home from that first rush of summer. Anyway, we are delighted to be with you. We hope you are all going to be planning out some great trips for this summer. Right now, though, Jennifer, are you ready to get to work?
I am.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
Like a lot of people, I like sleeping in darkness. And with all the technology in today's recreational vehicles, that can be challenging. That's because of all those glowing LED indicator lights that are shining to tell us various things are on and operating normally. We've talked before about how to cover them up easily at night. A listener named Wade has the simplest suggestion we've heard yet.
This is Wade replying to the problem some readers had of excessive light from various indicator LEDs. And I did note that you have used black electrical tape on the TV. I've done the same thing. However, few people are aware that electrical tape comes in various colors, including white. And if you'll take the white, a roll of white electrical tape, which you can get from almost any electrical or electrician's supply store, I use a hole punch and just punch out a little white circle and stick it right over the LED, or you can use it in any other way. But keep in mind, the black is opaque, the white is not. It will allow probably half the amount of light to come through, and then you can experiment with the other colors to get just the amount of light transmission. If you want to know that the item is turned on but not have that bright LED looking at you, just try different colors of electrical tape.
Our listeners are the smartest people. Thanks, Wade. And be sure to send me your tips and suggestions for the RV lifestyle. You can use the leave voicemail link at roadtrekking.com. Just click it and then use the built-in microphone on your computer or mobile device to record a message to me. You can do it over as many times as you want until you're satisfied. And then you just click a button and it comes right to my in-mail box. I love hearing from you.
Jennifer's tip of the week is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, RADPowerBikes.com. You've seen them at campgrounds all across the country. Rad Power Bikes are an electric bike manufacturer, and they are so popular, just high-quality electric bikes. But probably what most people like just as much as the quality is that you get such a great bargain with the Rad Power e-bike because they offer direct-to-consumer pricing on those powerful premium electric bikes they sell. They have all sorts of different bike models that fit a wide variety of rider wants and needs. They can all reach up to 20 miles an hour with zero pedaling. They also give you the choice. You can ride pedal-free if you like with the throttle, or you can utilize 5 different levels of pedal assist for a little extra added boost whenever you need it, or you can combine regular pedaling and the throttle however you like. The Rad Power bikes are perfect for people who want to get back into riding. They're great for RVers because they can fit on a regular bike hitch at the back of your RV. And if you're maybe recovering from surgery or injury, or maybe you just need that little extra boost so you can keep up with friends and family, you'll love a Rad Power bike. They can travel between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. And the pricing, often less than half that of comparable bikes on the market because the dealer retail markups are cut off. And I can even make it better for you price-wise because if you mention Road Trekking at checkout, you'll get an additional $75 off. Just mention Road Trekking under the coupon code area. And of course, Rad Power bikes are sent free, shipping free on all their bike models. Visit radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. We just bought a 2004 Chevy Express Popular 190 Road Trek and would like to add a high-end motorsports sunshade to help with insulation. Does it make sense to spend over $200 to purchase shades for all the windows, or would the windshield shade be sufficient? Thanks a lot.
Well, those shades, we have one from High End Motorsports. So that's the one. In fact, I just used it. We use it just to block out the light at night sometimes. But they're really nice. They're reflective on one end and they're white on the other end. And they'll not only block off all that sunlight from coming in through your windshield. That's the one we use. We have the windshield and the sides. They do a good job. But she asked about all the other windows.
It probably would be worth using.
Yeah. Now, there's another alternative, which we can talk about. But, you know, the whole thing about using it at the windshield, so much of the heat comes in through your RV, through the windshield. And if you travel to any warm weather area, you'll see people, even when they park their cars in a shopping center to go shopping, they put a reflective sunscreen inside the windshield of their vehicle. Well, it's really important to do that in an RV. You had that tip. What, Jennifer? It said how fast an RV heats up with just the sun pouring in?
It doesn't take long. It warms up 20 to 30 degrees.
20 to 30 degrees in just a few minutes. So if it's 70 degrees outside, it's 100 degrees inside your RV. That's why it's important that you have you really watch over your pets if you leave them in your RV. You want to make sure you have air conditioning on. But anyway, to the high-end motorsports sunshades, I'll put a link on our website to them. They make them custom for just about every kind of vehicle you can want. Our Peggy, our caller there, had it made for her Chevy Express van, and the Mercedes also has them, and of course your passenger vehicles. She asked if the windshield shade is sufficient or should she get them for all windows. I think if it was me, Peggy, I would just buy the windshield and the front side windows.
I think that's all I would buy as well, because you've got your blind going up and down. You need something really flat that's going to fit against your other windows.
Right, because you know you're in your in the RV. You've got kind of most of them have shades or blinds that come down. But here is another option, and I will put a link to a video that is on our YouTube channel that we did about Reflectix. Reflectix is a kind of it comes in a roll. You get it at Home Depot or Lowe's or any home improvement store, and you can cut it to size. Those little bubble wrap only with aluminum on it, and you point that out the window to keep the heat out. Sun bounce that sun right back out so it doesn't come in. And if you turn it around and face it on the inside of your vehicle, it will then insulate you in the wintertime so you can keep the heat in the vehicle, which you want to do. It's pretty good.
What about breaking glass?
That's I did on the video that I'll link to that shows how easy that Reflectix works. I say don't even use it in the summer. But what people do in the summer is they get a little piece of stick-on Velcro, both double-sided sticky Velcro, and they put it on these pieces of Reflectix that they cut for the rest of the windows. And then when they stop at at night, you just go and you put that double stick Velcro with the Reflectix on the outside of the window, because you don't want that heat bouncing from the inside of the vehicle to the inside of the window, because it could stress that window. But because the Reflectix really does reflect. But another reason to have it is it blocks out all the light. So if you're staying in a campground that has one of those campground lights, that's not what we don't like campgrounds, right?
They're
under,
just too bright.
Why do they do it? They put these great big lights, street lights, right over the campsites. So many of them.
Well, they don't want anybody tripping and falling and
suing
them.
You can sleep in there, you know? I mean, it's crazy. So we like to take Reflectix along and use it just to block off the lights. And anyway, check it out. I'll put a link to that video we did on Reflectix, which works both in the winter and the summer. In the video, I say don't use it in the summer, but the way to use it in the summer is to place it on the outside of the window so as not to bounce back the sunshine to the glass interior.
So campgrounds are for people who are afraid of the dark.
There you go. If you're afraid of the dark, go to a campground. That's it. Same with the Walmarts. They're awfully bright. Anyway, links to the video we did, and then I'll put a link to high-end motorsports sunshades out there, and you can check that. All right, here's a question that we got by email, and we always try to answer some of our email questions. We love getting the voice ones because we like hearing your voice on the podcast, but this comes from a reader named Michelle, and let me just read her rather, it's a little long, but let me read her note. She says, Mike and Jennifer, we've been vacationing for 3 years of our retirement all over the country, but we're finding the call of the Gulf Coast pretty difficult to resist. That's just where Jennifer and I returned from, and we feel the same way. We're there all the time.
Yeah,
we
like it there.
All right, but here's what she says. We have loved camping in the off-season. Usually heading south, we do find ourselves overnighting somewhere mid-states, like in Kentucky or Tennessee. We love the Daniel Boone National Park in Tennessee, and we've been there a number of times. But our miseries start there. You never see them. But about 2 days later, the most unmerciful, unrelenting itching starts around the ankles and calves of your legs. I have to guess that they also get on dogs, as they'll also be itching. And when you pet them, my fingers will find little welts. It's taken me until now to diagnose that this is chigger bites. We come from Wisconsin. So we do have them somewhat in the summer in sandy areas, but we seldom encounter them. But they always seem to catch us by surprise in Tennessee. We'll camp that first night in areas that I would normally think are too cold at that time of year. Bam! We're miserable for over 3 weeks. I would expect to get these bites down in the sandy areas of the Gulf Coast, but there it doesn't seem to be as terrible. Some, but not like those mid-states. So are regular repellents effective against chiggers that we'll have to remember to spray at the beginning of our travels, especially on the legs, maybe even the poor dogs on that first night of a walk? Suggestions, please. Chiggers, we have not, I don't think we've been affected.
We have not had those yet.
Now, sometimes they're called red bugs as well, and some people call them no-see-ums, but those are all different. We're going to talk a lot of bugs, even my Off the Beaten Path has a report on bugs as well, come to think of it today. But chiggers are very, very small. They are technically not even insects. They're mites that are in the larval stage. They belong to the same group as ticks. They have six legs. They'll feed on birds and reptiles and humans if they can get on you. They don't necessarily target us, but if you're an accidental host, they can attach to you. And they do die within 1 to 3 days because our immune system to their bites doesn't give them the nourishment they need, but they can make it pretty miserable. There is one repellent that works, and it's one that everybody knows, DEET. DEET works.
Yeah, or stay covered.
Yeah,
cover your ankles.
Yep, long
socks.
Pants, socks,
long
ankles.
Pants.
Yep. But DEET is the most effective bug repellent for just about anything against chiggers and, of course, other mites like that. But you would apply it. It only works for a couple of hours. So you might have to reapply it if you're out doing a lot of camping and stuff. I looked up a couple of places off deep wood spray. Works well, they say. There is a product that you can get at Outfitters and many sporting goods stores, and REI carries them. It's called Sawyer Premium Clothing Insect Spray. I'll put a mention that on the show notes for this episode. Sawyer's Premium Clothing Insect Spray and Sawyer's Maxi DEET. It's a small little aerosol can that you can get. Sawyer Maxi DEET. They promise to work very well against chiggers, and we'll put information about that in our show notes for you. But yeah, they are a problem. You can't really, you know, apply them before, like your dog would get flea and tick medicine every month. I think that's what we do with Bo.
Yeah, once
it?
A month.
And that seems to work really well, but this stuff, it doesn't. But DEET will either kill them when they get on you, or it will keep them off. So
now I'm thinking we need to get some of this, because once you've heard, you have to be prepared. Can't pretend like we haven't heard.
Yes, now we have heard. We have not hit, you know, but we almost stayed. She said, let me go back to her email. She stayed in the Daniel Boone National Park in the Tennessee area. We almost went there on the way back home, coming home this weekend.
The problem is we like traveling on Saturday and Sunday, and we took off Sunday, and it was so nice driving through all the big cities on our way home with no traffic. It was incredible.
So we didn't stop.
We didn't stop for 700 miles.
We made it from Florida, the Gulf Coast of Florida, to south of Dayton, Ohio in one day.
I mean, we've never gotten through Cincinnati so easily.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm sorry. Back to Peggy's question, what's her name? I got to go back to her. Michelle's question about chiggers. If you do get bit by chiggers, you'll get pretty intense itching, and there will be some red welts even after the mites die off. Remember I said they died after 1 to 3 days? And the itching can last up to 3 weeks and make you pretty miserable. You want to get an antibiotic ointment, and you can use that. That will help talk to a drugstore or your physician. They'll tell you what to use. But anyway, now we know about chiggers, and we're going to have to get some of that too. I think I'm going to pick up that Sawyer's. Information on everything we've talked about, all when I keep talking about links and stuff, I put show notes up on our roadtrekking.com blog. So if you go to roadtrekking.com/141, you'll get the show notes for this episode, and you'll get all that information that we just talked about.
You're listening to the RV Podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the RVPodcast.com travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. Just click the send voicemail button on RV Podcast.
Sponsoring this part of the podcast is Van City RV in St. Louis, Missouri, and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana. Hey, we'd love to stop in and visit you guys in Creston. We're going to be heading up to Kalispell through that area in just another month. So we're going to stop by the dealership. We'll say hi. And our friends at Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, three dealerships, Van City RV, St. Louis, Creston RV, Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, Nevada, bringing you a large inventory of Class B RVs from three locations. Now, if you're in the market for a Class B, you know how high demand they are, particularly in finding used ones. And that's why you'll want to check with these three dealers, VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, and WagonTrailRV.com. They all specialize in Class B RVs from all the major manufacturers, Road Treks, Pleasure Ways, Leisure Travel Vans, Class B, B Pluses, other small motorhomes. Here's our pal from Van City RV, Dan the Van Man. Tell us about some of the specials this week.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, this week we have some great specials on the new Chinook Baysides. Built on the 24-foot chassis or the 19-foot 6-inch chassis with the four-wheel drive Mercedes. You can check those out at VanCityRV.com. Also, just a reminder, we're having our 47th anniversary show right here in a lot at Van City RV. You can come by and check out the new models and talk to some of the factory reps. Again, that's June 15th, 16th, and 17th. Come by and check them out or give us a call today at 1-800-467-3905.
They say every dog has its day. In this part of the podcast, it's time for tips, resources, and travel advice about bringing pets on our RV adventures.
We've talked before about the importance of choosing healthy dog food for your pet. Unfortunately, a lot of bad food is being sold on the market. Pet food recalls are much too frequent. Like us, I'm sure you're concerned about finding safe and healthy food for your dog. Last week, while we were exercising Bo at the Fort Walton Beach, Florida, off-leash dog park, we got to talking with one of the women there. She worked as a vet tech, and she told us about a public service website that is designed to help pet owners make some informed decisions about buying dog food. It's called dogfoodadvisor.com, and its motto is saving good dogs from bad dog food. The website has researched, reviewed, and rated more than 4,563 dog food products. The website knows who actually makes each dog food, the company's recall history, and safety practices. They teach how to read labels and correctly interpret the nutritional content. They also report where the ingredients come from, which additives are safe and which ones are toxic. And they promptly list all the pet food recalls. You can even sign up to get an email about them as they happen. It is so important for you to know what actually is in your dog food before you buy it. And this website, which is privately owned and maintained and is not affiliated in any way with the pet food industry, is the best way. Mike and I have found to be sure that what we feed our Bo is the best dog food available.
This part of the podcast is brought to you by Dozer's Dental Chews. an all-natural and healthy treat your dog will love, available direct through Amazon and retailers and pet shops across the USA. Well, Jennifer just explained why it's so important to know what is in the food that you feed your dog. Now, Dozer's Dental Chews is a treat, and it also helps clean your dog's teeth. But it's a treat your dog will love. And the reason we are so confident in giving it to Bo is because it is 100% all natural. It is gluten-free. It is made in the USA, in upstate New York, to be exact. And that's important because if you follow many of those pet recalls, you'll see that that food and those pet treats that are often the subject of recall because of contamination issues have been produced overseas. Dozer's is low in fat. It has no artificial colors. It has no artificial flavors. It has no artificial preservatives. And they will clean your dog's teeth. They will reduce plaque. Your dog will love them. It'll freshen their breath. It is literally the favorite taste treat for Bo. And when I need to get his attention on off of something and onto behaving properly, I just have to tell him a Dozer's involved and he'll do anything I ask him to do. You see, if you run into all of us out on the road someplace at a dog park or in a campground, and we've got Bo with us. Ask about Dozer's. I always carry a supply because Bo likes to give them to his canine buddies. And you'll see, you can't beat Dozer's. If you want some information on it, just go to roadtrucking.com/Dozer's, D-O-Z-E-R-S, or check when you're on the road. Look at Amazon retailers around the world or pet shops, any place else. If they don't have them, tell them, hey, we want some Dozer's. Hey, we've talked before about solo travelers. Often they are single women traveling across North America in their RVs. I heard a statistic that 20 to 30% of all of the Class B RVs are bought by single women. I don't know if that's true, but I know in some of the dealers have said that we've talked to. Well, this week's guest in our interview is a single woman. She is a recent single woman and a recent solo traveler. Her name is Lise. We met her down in Glendale, Arizona, and she had just traveled from, I believe, the Vancouver area to that part of the Southwest, the desert Southwest. And her multi-decades-long marriage had ended tough. You know, it was a tough ending to a marriage. They always are. But after, I think, 30-something years. And here she was. She found herself alone and wondering what on earth she was going to do now with her life. How was she going to make a new life? So a year ago, Lise bought a brand new Road Trek Class B RV, she bought the Agile model, and she found a new sense of empowerment. And as we visited with Lise and she told us her story, we believe that it's going to be a great inspiration to many of you as well. As she tells us about venturing out, feeling the sense of empowerment, getting out there past her comfort zone, let's all meet Lise. Well, Lise joins us right now, and we're going to talk about the sense of empowerment out there for a single traveler.
It's absolutely fabulous. It's a brand new experience to me. I've not RV'd or had any sort of way of getting around and always wanted to. And a year ago tomorrow, I did purchase my Road Trek, which I love. And it's hugely empowering because I'm on my own and I've never done this before.
Now, your circumstances, without obviously getting too personal, your age, kids, a marriage that went bad, and what this has meant for you now at this stage of your life?
Well, it is, as I said, it's very much giving you that self-confidence to try new things because your life is completely different than what it was before. I'm in my 60s now, so I'm newly on my own after so many years, and my kids are grown, and I've always wanted to see a little more and haven't had that opportunity. We did have a family cabin, so that was only the one place we went. So this is new, and it's really cool.
Now, you have a name for your RV.
Yes, I do. I called her the Lady Escape, and I call her the Lady E for short.
And why Lady Escape?
Because it is my chance to get on the road and go somewhere I've never been before and escape from home and everything else and try new things.
Now, had you much apprehension before all this began?
Oh, yeah. This is so out of my comfort zone and so out of the being at home and a familiar lifestyle and to get out on a road and be well, I don't have to be anywhere, but I sort of need to know something, but I don't really know yet, but I'm learning, is hugely scary, but cool.
Now, you just made a long trip from Vancouver down to the Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona area. That was a long ride. What has that been like?
It was really, I guess probably the worst of it was the weather. There was a lot more I would have liked to have enjoyed, but it was really cool to just get on the road and go no matter what, and traveling with a very old dog has been a little bit challenging this time.
Your dog is how old?
She's 14 years old now.
And she's kind of bad health at that age?
Yeah, she's going blind and deaf and having trouble, but you know, we girls, me and my fur baby, my fur baby and I went on a trip together, and yes, we had to go farther and not stop as much with blinding rain.
So tell me the lessons that you have learned from this past year on the road, and give some encouragement to others out there that want to join you on this route.
It's awesome, and even though it's really scary, sometimes you just have to go for it. The world integrally is a good place, and you meet really great people that are more than willing to help you. And if you don't know, you ask. If you're not sure, you ask. Or YouTube it, or go on your website, Mike and Jennifer, because it's really been a huge help for me.
Tell us, you've done some boondocking, and you've done the Walmart camping, right? What's that experience been like?
Well, I did the casino was fine. I've done some boondocking that was fine, but you know, one thing I've learned from so many people is to trust your spidey sense. And if you're not sure about a place, then it's probably just as easy to move on. So I did do a Walmart. I felt uncomfortable at some point.
Tell us how, a little bit about that.
Well, it turns out that there were other people camping there, but not really close to me. But it was very close in that parking lot to a late night burger joint. So people were sort of trolling by your car and looking, and then there was people actually living in their cars at the Walmart I was at, and I just felt I have to get out to walk a dog, so you can't just lock up and stay inside. So I just got up and put into my RV, my Garmin, where can I go, and I went to another spot and went to sleep just fine.
But that trusting your gut is so important, isn't it?
It's very important, and I try to read as much as I can about solo women trying to learn, because it's brand new.
Now, you've met other solo female travelers, and you know that about 20% or so of all of the Class B owners out there are solo women.
Yeah, it's amazing how you find this out. There's a lot of groups, there's a lot of people, and one of my best experiences on this first trip, which I've called the Maiden Sunshine Voyage, is the first person I actually met at the place I came to was a fellow road trekker, and her name's Denise. She's on a 5-month sojourn by herself, and she's in a 2016 road trek, and we became Road Trek Sisters. We called ourselves the RT Sisters. Yeah. And now we're Facebook friends, and I'm following her trip.
There are so many women that we hear from every time we go anywhere. They come and say the one question, is it safe? Is it safe?
I think you have to have faith that you are, and if you don't feel like you are, you move on. I still think you have to be smart. There's a lot of good information out there, both on your website and other. There's a girl that lives out there, and she boondocks all the time. The big boots, the dog sign, the having your keys handy at the front and the back of the vehicle. There's things you can do.
And these are common precautions you would take anywhere.
That's correct, yes.
And that's good, but the... I want to come back to this empowerment issue a little bit, and in your personal story a little bit, and how this has made a difference. What, you know, could you imagine yourself of doing this 10 years ago or 15 years ago? You raised two kids, grown kids, but was this part of your plans then, or did this come later?
It was always a dream. Didn't know if it was really going to happen, but I seriously put it out there that that's what I'd like to do, and I looked for at least 3 years before I made a decision that I was going to do it. And actually, it was a gift in some way from my mom. It was the one little bit I had tucked away from my mom. And she always said, do something really special with it. So I did. Thanks,
was
Mom.
What was it like driving that brand new motorhome that you bought, new to you, this brand new motorhome for you? What was that like driving home?
I left where I bought it with the biggest grin on my face. My face probably hurt for 2 days. It was just the most incredible high, just driving down the highway with your home right there.
Now, we had a chance to take a look at your RV, and I was very impressed with the way you have personalized it. And I wonder the significance of that, and maybe for others who are going to be buying it, how to make that home.
I think it becomes part of your home, and you really want to make it special for you. And I've seen people do some of the craziest stuff inside, and some people do just what makes it work for them. But my personal stamp was to make it girly and pretty because I'm on my own, and I just love the way I've started to put
it together.
Yeah,
we took a photo that we'll share in our show notes with the episode, but you had some signs on the wall that I suspect are more than signs on the wall for you.
Live, love, and laugh is one of the things that's really important to me, and I think this experience is living, loving, and laughing and feeling really good about going somewhere.
Where does Lise want to go next? What's on your bucket list?
Well, we're approaching good weather back home in Canada, so hopefully I will visit one or two new friends that I've met even down here, up there, and then I'll see where it takes me because I'd like to come down again next winter somewhere. There's a lot of the country I haven't seen. Actually, most of the country I haven't seen.
Well, you know, if you follow in the group, you've seen that we have lots of places where we have gatherings around the country, and we invite you to come join us all there. And I know Jennifer and I hope to see you out there on the road again. And it was just great to spend some time with you and learn to live, love, and laugh.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure to meet the both of you because I'm on your website pretty much every day.
And we'll see you on the Facebook group too. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Mike.
The interview of the week is brought to you by SunshineStateRVs.com from Gainesville, Florida, where every new or used Road Trek motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country. At Sunshine State RVs, you will find a huge selection of used Class B RVs, probably the biggest selection that you'll find anywhere in the United States of America. If you're looking for a new Class B, they sell all the models made by Road Trek as well, brand new 2017 models on the lot right now, as well as all those used Class Bs. And their used Class Bs are from every possible dealer you can find. Pleasure Way, Winnebago, Leisure Travel Vans, Road Trek. You will not find a wider selection of used Class B RVs anywhere else other than Sunshine State RVs in Gainesville, Florida. It's worth a trip down there to meet with Nick and the crew. But start off by going to SunshineStateRVs.com. Every RV they sell has been through a 172-point inspection that makes sure all the mechanical and manual systems work just like they said they will. Here's Nick from Sunshine State RVs. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Mike. This is Nick at Sunshine State RVs. This is a big weekend for camping and traveling. We want to wish everyone a safe and happy Memorial Day weekend. We're looking forward to spending the weekend with our family and our friends. So this coming Monday, we will be closed to observe Memorial Day. But before we go, we wanted to let everybody know what's going on here at Sunshine State RVs. We just had a big charity fundraiser for the Sebastian Ferrer Foundation, and we were able to display some new Road Treks there and hopefully raise some money to build a children's hospital here in Gainesville. It was a pretty neat event. We also have a lot of new inventory coming in here in Florida. We just got in a 2008 Road Trek 170. We got a 2007 Road Trek 190. And a 2004 Leisure Travel. Those are just the ones that came in the last couple days. Every day we're getting new RVs in and new RVs are going out. But if you need anything, remember, always free shipping for any Road Trekking listeners. Check out our website, sunshinestaterVs.com. And Mike, thanks a lot, man.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
Well, it is the Memorial Day weekend in the United States, the second highest number of Americans on record are expected to travel this Memorial Day holiday, according to the AAA. They're blaming and crediting low gas prices. We all like that. Rising personal income and a strong labor market for getting people out there enjoying themselves on the road. Every year, AAA conducts surveys to estimate travel for Memorial Day weekend. And this year, an estimated 38 million Americans are going to travel. That's the highest since 2005. And about 89% of them, says the Auto Club, will be traveling by road. Low gas prices are encouraging a lot of folks out there. News release that AAA sent out last Friday showed that gas prices for Memorial Day weekend are expected to be the lowest in 11 years. And by the way, if anybody wonders, the official Memorial Day weekend begins Thursday, May 25th, and runs through Monday, May 29th. We noticed on our travels over the weekend that there were a lot more people on the road. Of course, schools in the south of the United States are letting out now for the summer. So a lot of people were taking their very first summer vacations of the year. Be careful out there on the roads. Hey, here's a story. Have you've been driving down the road and you've been hit and buffeted by these wind gusts that come just like that, and it wakes you right up, scares the bejeebers out of you? We always seem to get ours on I-75 throughout the state of Ohio because there's a lot of open farmland, I guess, that borders the interstate there. But another area that it's very heavy on is I-90 that runs across the northern tier of states. And there was an incident this weekend that I want to link to a Facebook post that the South Dakota State Troopers put up. So I'll put a link on our show notes at roadtrekking.com/141. But this happened over the weekend. State Troopers were responding to this non-injury crash on I-90 about a mile east of New Underwood, South Dakota. And a pickup truck pulling a camper was just traveling down I-90 when an extremely strong gust of wind came through the area, caused the trailer to sway, and the wind then just caught the top of the camper and ripped it, literally blew it right off the camper itself. It flew across the opposite side of Interstate 90. Fortunately, everybody was able to stop in time. It didn't hit anybody. They had to shut down one lane on both sides of the I-90 to clear the camper and to clear the top of it, the roof of it, which blew across into the next lane. The camper, obviously, a total loss. Now, the photos, I wish I could describe them for you. I can't tell what kind of a trailer it was. It was clearly a trailer, maybe a fifth wheel, but there's nothing left. I mean, it blew the whole box and the roof right off. And again, I'll link to that and you can take a look at it. But when you're getting high winds like that, really strong winds, pull over or get off the interstate and take a slower road. Winds, I've never seen anything like that. And it also shows you, makes you wonder how some of these things are built. Take a look at the way it was built. The pictures speak volumes, and of the power of the wind, and then maybe a little bit about just how some of those trailers, those campers are built. I'll stick with a motorhome, a one-piece motorhome. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, one other story. I love this story, and I guarantee this is going to be posted in RV dealerships all across the country. But here's the story. There's a new study out, and it shows, are you ready for this? Millions of senior Americans are living too frugally. That's right. Now, everybody, there's a time for everybody to save, right? There's also a time when you're supposed to spend. That's commonly known as retirement. Well, millions of Americans aren't doing that, spending. And that has put the U.S. in this rather weird economic situation. Younger generations are not saving enough as their income slips further behind previous generations. We know that story. But on the other end of the spectrum, older Americans are sitting atop unprecedented piles of money built through stock market investments and IRAs and real estate booms. And the problem that these financial experts are talking about now is that the retirees, or at least the affluent ones, are not spending it. They're afraid of the unknown. And there was this new study by of U.S. retirees, of people who said that they're retiring. And the average American over the age of 60 supposedly cuts spending by about 2.5% a year, about 20% over a 10-year period, according to an analysis by the University of Michigan survey data of financial planning, a company named United Income. And as a result, millions of Americans are living, they say, too frugally. Matt Fellows is the United Income's CEO. He says the problem, he says, is we have to get people comfortable with enjoying their retirement and spending their money. And one of the irrational reasons, he says, that people don't spend when they retire is just simple habit. Something strange seems to happen when people retire. All of a sudden, they're not getting a regular paycheck, and that makes them scared to spend. And the goals that they set to do, you know, travel and enjoy themselves before retirement, they're abandoned along with the predetermined spending plans they had because retirees are terrified to see the balances on their retirement accounts start to drop even a tiny bit. So they're not spending. So go out there, spend it, enjoy it. Your kids are just going to blow it. You might as well enjoy it. All right, enough of that. That's the news of the week, and it's sponsored to you by Aldi, A-L-D-E. It's the only name in heat that you need to know when you're choosing a heating system for your RV. The Aldi system is a hydronic system, and it brings so many features and benefits that you can't find with traditional RV heating systems. It is hydronic. It's like that silent hot water baseboard heat that you find in expensive estate-type homes. Silent heat, radiant heat, provides a warm, even natural heated interior. It's not that dry heat that comes from forced air heating systems that most other RVs have. It gives you increased interior space because it combines your water heating system with your air heating system. It's efficient. The whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC. And you get so many options and amenities like towel warmers and tank heating and engine heat and towel warmers, did I say that? Yep, towel warmers, plus floor heat. That's our favorite one on the Aldi system that Jennifer and I have on our CS Adventurous XL. It's all controlled by a very modern, programmable color touchscreen thermostat, very easy to run. And it's available now, the Aldi heating systems on a number of different RV manufacturers. New Camp has them, Airstream has them, and of course, Road Trek RVs. Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name in heat that you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
Time to check in with our pal from Verizon Wireless himself, Steve Van Dinter.
Hi, Mike. Well, summer is almost here, and for the school age, that means a few months of carefree fun. Today I've got some app suggestions that'll keep them entertained and stretch their brains a bit. First up, one I know parents will like. It's called Chore Check. This free web-based tool and app allows parents to log in and create a list of things that need to be done and to assign them to their kids. Then once done, they're checked off. But for a little added fun, you can also make some of the chores stealable, and the first child to complete them gets the bonus money associated with the chore. Well, next, what happens when you make education a game? Well, you get the app ThinkThink. Designed by Japanese mathematicians, these brain games are designed to be challenging and fun. With more than 30 games in all, your children will never get bored. And they won't spend all day on it either, as the app will remind them once the daily time limit is met. Well, when rain puts a damper on the day's fun, have the kids check out the website Story Booth. On the site, children are encouraged to share their story in their own voice and submit. The best ones will be chosen to be animated and then appear on the website. And finally, something I used to love to do as a kid, Mad Libs, only now there's an electronic version. It's like Choose Your Own Adventure meets Comedy Hour. With Mad Libs, you've got an endless number of stories to choose from, but the best part is you fill in the blanks by answering questions ahead of time. You'll blindly add in nouns, verbs, adjectives, and even photos. Then the app goes to work filling the blanks of its story with the pieces of speech you chose. Not only will this have your kids rolling on the floor with laughter, but they'll also learn the basic parts of speech along the way. With this week's traveling technology tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
All right, I'll put links to all of those. You'll find them on the show notes for this episode, which is roadtrekking.com/141. Now, these are great apps. Get those apps on your smartphone or on your tablet. And when you take your grandkids or your kids camping this season, these apps, just whip them out and it'll be a lot of fun. Particularly the one, that story booth one that Steve talked about, where they... kids share the story in their own voice. You could have the kids do that, like each day at the end of a trip. You know, you've covered some ground and you're at the campground, and then they do that, and they can send that to their folks or their friends, and it teaches them storytelling, and it's really a lot of fun. So there are three or four apps there that you can pick up that will help you relate to your kids and grandkids and have a lot of fun. Traveling technology. See, we got good stuff for you. This part of the podcast, the traveling tech part, every week is brought to you by Verizon Wireless. Verizon operates America's most reliable wireless network. And when they say that it's the most reliable, survey after survey, the three leading network studies and multiple tests year after year always ranks Verizon right at the top. It is the only network that Jennifer and I use when we are on the road in traveling across North America. That's how I send my YouTube reports in to our YouTube video channel. You know how demanding video is. It's really, those are big files. I send them all to our RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube with just the Verizon 4G LTE network. That's how fast and reliable it is. Our blog and our podcast are all uploaded as well on that same network. So check them out. It's the only technology provider that we have, and it's the only one that you'll need in your RV travels. Verizon Wireless. You will be thrilled with the results you get.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right. Hey, early on we talked about chiggers, right? And one of our listeners had a question. I think they got chiggers in Tennessee, and we learned that those are little biting bugs. They're really not really a bug. They're not technically an insect. They're technically in the spider family. But anyway, chiggers are just one of a whole bunch of things you have to worry about. And this time of year is the time that across the country, everybody seems to be plagued by their own unique brand of bugs. You know, chiggers in the mid-states, out west, it might be mosquitoes. In the east, of course, it's ticks. We've talked a lot about ticks. But if you go to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, off the beaten path, way up there in the UP, you're going to encounter every June, if you hit near the Superior Shore, something that we call the curse of the black flies, the curse of the UP. I'm going to play you the audio track to a little video we did on a visit that you'll get the picture, and I'll also put a link to the video in the show notes for this episode. But off the beaten path along the Superior Shoreline, if you're going up into the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, watch out for the flies.
Michigan's Upper Peninsula, the UP, is a place of spectacular beauty. Lakes, streams, waterfalls, and the Lake Superior shoreline. Simply awesome.
This is the curse of the UP. Black flies. Hate these things. You stay long, and they're all over you. Now I'm sacrificing my pain. Ow! Get out of here, you guys. Get out of here. Oh, my goodness. Look. Can you see this? This is what these things do. Oh, my gosh. And they all are biting. Okay, it may be beautiful country, but it's so miserable because of these flies.
When the flies are biting, this is what you see. UP locals, they call themselves Upers, call it the Black Fly Dance.
Curse of the North.
Actually, there are two kinds of flies. Black flies and stable flies.
They're terrible. When they come in swarms out of the woods usually. It depends on the direction of the wind. When it comes from the south, it brings them up out of the woods, and they will cover a car. You'll see people walking, and the back of them will just be covered with these black flies that bite.
We've been here a million times and never had them, but today they're definitely getting your ankles.
you're pretty well covered with them yourself.
The black flies are like deer flies. They bite hard and they draw blood. The stable flies bite and go away.
Stable flies are, they look like harmless house flies, but they're more insidious because they really sting hard.
But the flies don't bite all the time, and they are a small price to pay for some of the most beautiful wilderness that you'll find anywhere.
All right, I will put a link to that video that the audio came from on our show notes page for this episode at roadtrekking.com/141. And again, they don't bite all the time. And if the wind is right, you know, they might be pushed out over Lake Superior, and they tend to congregate along the Lake Superior shoreline inland, maybe 8-10 miles. Other parts, you know, some days you won't have them at all, but other times you will. In June, and even early July is when you'll find most of them. The curse of the UP. Hey, the Off the Beaten Path report is brought to you by our friends at Steinbring Motor Coach near Minneapolis. Road Trek's newest dealer, by the way, and a third generation family business in suburban Minneapolis. And they're built on quality motorhomes. That's why they picked Road Trek. They wanted the quality, number one in quality RV in the Class B category to add to their inventory. Excellent pricing, by the way, on Road Treks. Excellent pricing on all their other brands. It's not just Class Bs they sell. Steinbrings are specialized in Newmar, selling new Newmar Class A motorhomes. Gorgeous motorhomes. Have you seen a Newmar? You need to go visit Steinbring and ask them to give you a walkthrough on some of the Newmar motorhomes, the Class A. They're gorgeous. And of course, the top of the line in the Class B's, Road Trek. They've got the inventory of Road Treks as well. And they have lots of other popular brands on their lot. They have Road Trek, of course, Winnebago, Newmar, Itasca, Tiffin, Fleetwood, Holiday Rambler, Monaco, used RVs of all different sizes. And whether you're looking for Class A, Class B, Class C, a diesel pusher, a gas or a toy hauler, you are sure to find your next RV at Steinbrings. You need to go to Steinbrings. And I've got links on their website, but Steinbrings is spelled Steinbring. And they are an amazing place with award-winning sales, award-winning service. Their service team has won some excellence awards 4 times in a row with the Newmar Customer Service Award also. They've had that numerous times. They're a third-generation family business. You can trust them. The folks at Steinbring Motorhomes, they're in suburban Minneapolis. Tell them you heard about them on the RV podcast.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there somewhere off the beaten path.
Well, so ends another episode of the RV Podcast. And remember, if you'd like to be a part of the program, you can do it. You can have your voice appear right here and be a part of it with us. Just to record a voicemail message, click the right-hand button on the roadtrekking.com website. And again, I want to remind you that all the resources and the links and the information that I passed along in the last hour of this podcast is available as show notes. Just go to roadtrekking.com/141 for all the show notes for this episode. Then you can just scroll down to whatever section you're interested in and click on it and listen to it then. Hey, I want to also point out to you that we have really been working hard doing a lot of videos, and we've put them all together on a very special RV lifestyle channel on YouTube. Have you been there yet? Just look up Mike and Jennifer's RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube, and you'll see we've got hundreds of videos there in every different category of travel and the RV lifestyle. And we have new ones that come up all the time, and we also do regular live reports on YouTube. If you want to know when the next live one will be or when we have new video come, all you have to do is click the subscribe button, and you'll be able to get notice, advance notice, ahead of everybody else of when our videos are up and online. Hey, we love doing this podcast. We want to hear from you. Any comments, questions, anything you'd like us to cover, just send them all in. We'll be back here next Wednesday. Happy Memorial Day to everybody who's off enjoying the U.S. holiday. We'll see you right out there on the road, road trekking across North America. Bye-bye, everybody.